Welcome to another episode of the Reboot Chronicles, a no-holds-barred forum with global leaders, authors, entrepreneurs, and CEOs about how organizations stay focused on growth and innovation in unprecedented times. I'm your host, Dean DeBias, coming to you live from Reviv's North American headquarters in Chicago, and we would like to thank you for joining us from around the globe today. Shelley Swanbeck is the president of T-Tech, a leading global consumer experience technology and services provider that helps the world's largest organizations, well, connect to people. T-Tech has been leading the innovation charge and taking the industry to the next level, scaling AI-enabled customer journey solutions across the enterprise that touch most all interaction channels. Shelley's also the CEO of T-Tech Exchange, which delivers AI-enabled customer engagement, acquisition, and growth services with billions of last-mile conversations across hundreds of technology platforms. The company operates on six continents with 64,000 employees who speak 50 languages and delivered $2.4 billion in revenue last year. Previously, Shelley built Accenture Digital into a $20 billion powerhouse, and she is on the board of Willis Towers Watson. Shelley, great to see you.
Hi, nice to be here.
It's quite a fun job you've got over there at Teletech. I used to call it that back in the day when it was founded in the 80s, now T-Tech. And, you know, I've been a customer, been a friend of the company ever since, you know, Ken Tuchman founded it and got this thing going. And the industry has rebooted itself decade after decade. It's definitely not your father's call center company anymore. So maybe just bring us up to date. What, you know, services breakdown. You guys are BPO, technology, consulting, analytics, all kinds of stuff. How do you describe it now?
Reboot's probably a good word, right? Lots of change and innovation in this industry overall. We're in another sort of chapter of that right now with all the advances in AI. So I liked your comment earlier about we connect with people. We serve clients and help connect with their customers and make that brand connection special through the use of both technology and human beings. Our purpose around delivering humanity to business has probably never been more relevant as companies across all industries are trying to use technology to let their customers self-serve, you know, answer their own questions when they'd like to do that, interact with them in a digital channel when that makes sense, but also provide those human-to-human connections. You know, sometimes when you're, you know, you've got an insurance claim or a healthcare question, there's no technology solution. Nobody wants to interact with a bot to understand if a cancer treatment is covered on their insurance or what doctor they might want to go to. And so, you know, we have a technology division, as you said, helping our clients use these technologies, not just AI, by the way, but of course AI, especially with all the advances there, but also then being able to, we have frontline associates, brand ambassadors that serve our clients' customers every single day. And so how do you get that balance right between those connections, those human connections and technology? And there's a lot going on right now.
I love that you're trying to make it more human or humane, and it's not. It's just such a out of touch. Anytime you scale something over in billions and billions of dollars, it's really hard to make it personal. And how is it? You know, as you guys have rebooted, how has it changed the culture of the company? Like your purposes sounds a lot more holistic than it used to.
Yeah, I think there's been a lot of change at this company over the last 41 years for sure. Certainly as we entered this digital era, gosh, over a decade now ago, right? I remember back then everyone was saying, what does this word digital mean? And now we sort of all instinctively know a bit about what digital means. But to your point, you know, many interactions just, they're not served well through technology. I mean, I think we all rely on lots of AI and technology in our phone, in our pocket every day, but probably still get frustrated by it, right?
Those of you not on the video feed, we're both holding up our phones in disgust.
Yeah, right. And those technologies, by the way, voice to text, voice to voice, translation technologies, all those things are going to evolve and I think have their place for sure. But again, I mean, one of the things that we certainly see and are helping our clients with every day is figuring out what are the practical applications of technology where it can scale and it can make sense from a cost-benefit perspective if you want to look at it that way as a company. But more importantly, how does it make sense in terms of those interactions with your customers? Because I think we all know in today's age, nobody has patience for a bad experience. And so what experiences are better served with technology and which ones require a human-to-human connection?
Yeah, so it sounds like the phone is not going away anytime soon, but trying to make it better through technology is. Is it usually like if you look at the priority stack, is it, when you look at innovation, has it mostly been, hey, how do we reduce the cost of this? Because these companies are spending billions in whatever they want to call it now, you know, customer experience, contact centers, that type of stuff.
I would say certainly, you know, it probably varies across industry and depending on the company and what sort of connection they want to have with their customer, kind of their brand ethos, if you will. But cost is certainly, and scalability is certainly a factor, I would say. But, you know, lots of companies have experimented with some of these technologies and they've backfired a bit just in terms of, in fact, I was talking with one of our customers the other day and they said, we're going to be the non-digital company, right? We're going to do that on purpose because we have competitors that you can't actually talk to a human being. And so we're going to go the other way. We're going to be the non-digital company and that's the experience that we're going to provide. So I think a lot of it too, you know, there's a lot of focus and a lot of focus we have right now is how do we use some of these technologies to actually enhance the frontline associates or brand ambassadors that are talking to our clients' customers? How do we make their job easier so they can actually create a better customer experience? So rather than saying to customers, interact with our technology, saying, how do we use technology to empower our frontline associates to have better information at their fingertips? Some of the things that our employees are interacting with customers on are quite extensive. They're quite complicated, whether it's healthcare, whether it's maybe an automotive claim or somebody calling in to understand how their, you know, F-150 truck works, right? And if a warranty claim
doesn't work, exactly.
Yeah, okay. And so, you know, being able to use technology to help our frontline associates have better interactions with their customers is certainly a big focus right now for us and also for our clients.
Yeah, it makes me want to go off on a tangent. I'll make it quick, but the many industries, you serve almost every vertical, we can go into that, but the have tried things and thought it was in the, you know, under the auspices of efficiency and technology, and let's take retail, self-service checkout. Yeah. Pretty much been a disaster. No benefit for the consumer. It's like, now I'm doing your job. And a lot of them are pulling back. You know, in the second half of the, whatever, the roaring 20s area, you're probably going to see all types of new things going on. And I'm sure you've tried a lot of things. And, you know, if it doesn't meet the objective, pull out. So I love that you're not just focused on technology for technology alone. But back to industry. So when you look at all your verticals, what's hot now? What do you see in terms of cool applications out there?
Well, I mean, I think there's lots of applications that are, you know, getting a lot of press here as of late. You know, everyone's talking about, you know, of course, the ChatGPT, the generative AI bot, right? And, you know, some of these bots that you can get, you know, you can access on websites or mobile apps, you know, you can have some fun with them, right? I won't name the app, but, you know, it's for a retailer site, right? And it'll answer lots of really interesting questions, even including like, you know, do you have a chocolate chip cookie recipe that you can recommend for me? But if you ask it any information about your order or a return or anything like that, it says, you know, I can't, that's not a question I can answer. You'll need to contact somebody.
Or their competitors. Yeah. Talking about that.
Yeah.
That's a great point. It's a hobby business. People, the industries go through these like infatuation phases. So metaverse was really hot and then it was not. Now, you know, whatever. It's always the next thing. I'm guilty of that being a tech guy. But you're right. It's you fixate on the wrong the wrong thing and you take customers on a or consumers on a journey. It's easy to poke fun at retail though, because it's probably one of the toughest, I think. Maybe healthcare and, you know, fixing your F-150 is probably a longer conversation.
Yeah.
But do you think you can automate a lot of this? Or is it, I guess when you look at the 80-20 thing, is it still mostly one-on-one?
You know, there's certainly been, I would just say this. I mean, is there an opportunity to provide digital channels or automation or self-service to customers? Absolutely. Is this new generation of generative AI interesting for some new applications like some of the travel companies are using, are experimenting with this right now, so that if you go to one of the travel platforms, you can ask for advice of, you know, here's the kind of vacation I want to plan, right? I want to be on a beach. I don't want to be on a boat. You know, give it its criteria, give the bot your criteria, and it will recommend a vacation plan for you as a starting point. So there are going to be some interesting applications for this, but I would also say there's a lot of re-automation going on. What do I mean by that? Some of these basic frequently asked questions sorts of applications, can they get better and be more interesting with the new technology? Yes. Is that going to fundamentally change things? Probably not, because people can self-serve that information already today. But things will evolve, and we see some interesting experimentation going in different industries. So I think it would be naive to think that the latest and greatest in these AI applications won't change things. But I do, you know, we have a fundamental belief, humans like human interaction, and particularly for complex sorts of interactions and transactions. You mentioned healthcare, maybe something around your personal finances. Those things I don't think are ever going to be fully automated. I don't think as consumers, we want that.
No, but you did bring up two key categories. So travel and financial services were one of the first two to digitize the front end. So I'm talking web and versus phone and on-site visits. So travel agents, I can't think of any right now that my friends go to, but they used to. And financial services, the phone call is you know, they want instant access to their information. But there's other laggard industries where they're not, you know, where they're still. What are you most excited about in terms of transforming some of your sectors?
Yeah, I think, I mean, for me, one of the things I'm most excited about is just the rich set of insights that we can get from the, you know, contact center, right? What do I mean by that? As we're able to transcribe every customer interaction and run analytics around these call summaries or interaction summaries, and what the insights we can unlock for companies, not just about what are their customers concerned about, or what questions are they asking, or what's making them angry, or what's making them pleased with the brand, right? But really some rich insights around, here's some product opportunities, right? Here's something that's popping up in this part of, I don't know, if you're a telecom company, we seem to have this sort of issue at this part of the network all of the time at this part of the day. Like, okay, that's pretty insightful as a business to say, right, there's an issue over here we wouldn't have understood if we weren't mining the rich set of insights that we get from these customer interactions. So it becomes almost just a hub of company intelligence, right? It's not just customer intelligence. We're calling it, we talk about conversational intelligence. It's not just about customer sentiment. It's really more holistically about what's happening across the company. And so I think there's a lot of really interesting things that we can unlock for our customers just with the power of AI, listening and, you know, I would say analyzing all of these customer interactions.
Yeah. And that, for those of you who don't understand this business as much, is like that totally opens up a new business model for you. It's like, hey, we are now not just, you know, a listening device and helping, but now we're diagnostic and we can do predictive analytics and we can help you figure out that the reason everyone's calling at 4 o'clock is there's no cell tower right here on 75.
Exactly.
There should be. So you become more of a strategic partner at that point.
Yeah. And, you know, I think there's been attempts at this before, but the technology now enabling us to do this is just going to be able to enable us to do this at scale. And so I think that's very exciting. Really across all industries, it's kind of a hub of intelligence, if you will, for the company, right? It's not just a contact center anymore.
Exactly. And as many of our listeners know, innovation is about technology and timing, and usually enabling technology. The reason Uber took off is because if smart screen phones weren't mass market, they never would have made it. AI has been around since the 90s. Why didn't it take off back then? Because the computing power wasn't there. So it's all about, you're at the perfect storm. Seems like a very exciting time to be at TTEC.
It is. And I think, you know, if you really think about it, we're sort of like at the center, I say this intelligence hub, right? Think about the power of merging customer data, customer interaction data, you know, frontline associate data around their interactions with the customers, matching that with product information, matching that with inventory information. Like, just, it's a very rich arena to use to really unlock the power of what we can do with AI.
And when you look at growth and innovation of a, you know, multi-billion dollar public company, how do you approach it? Let's back up the bus first and ask the second question. How do you implement it? You've got over 60,000 employees. You can't just like start throwing stuff at the centers because it's, you still have a lot of manual operations out there that have to actually use whatever it is that you're going to invent. So,
yeah.
So it's two questions. Yeah. How do you actually invent and create and manage that change? But maybe the execution part is, no one ever talks about that.
Yeah. Well, it is tricky because as you said, we have 60,000 frontline associates across the world, but more importantly, we have hundreds of customers. And so it's not a one size fits all approach for each customer because their environments are different.
When you say hundreds of customers, these are massive multinational corporations.
They are. And so being able to do this in a way that is, you know, interacts with their environment is obviously important. I'd say a couple things. I think my experience here and also my days building Accenture Digital is that change is messy. And so, you know, I think one of the things you have to learn in leading companies through change is to embrace the mess and help the organization embrace the mess and know kind of as a leader, sometimes you got to get in and like create a little bit of mess on purpose because that's where innovation comes from, right? But other times, back to the execution question, if it's too messy, that's turbulent for an organization. And so sometimes you got to sort of jump in and sort of contain the mess or clean it up a little bit.
Otherwise, you don't get adoption, right?
Well, and you can't get it at scale, right? And mm-hmm. particularly in a business like this where operations, daily operations, being able to make sure you can, you know, give good quality customer interactions every single time. It's a very operational, you know, disciplined environment. And so interjecting innovation, it has to be thoughtful. And so of course we're doing things like experimenting and doing proof of concepts and, you know, making sure that we understand what it will take to scale, having, you know, day-to-day conversations with our clients to make sure it works in their environment. And I would say we're still in the early days, especially with this new generation of AI. But I think more and more companies across industries are more open to experimenting, particularly when it comes to using technology to augment frontline associates. It's a different situation when you're just going to unleash this new technology to your customers. And what about privacy concerns? What about regulatory concerns? What about hallucinations? What about the fact that some of it doesn't even have a business case? Because at scale, it doesn't even make sense. And so we're kind of in that cycle working through that with our clients right now.
And you put it into two buckets, innovation that is, efficiency generating versus, hey, we can help people grow. We can grow ourselves, but also how do we help our clients grow?
There's definitely, I mean, for sure, we're doing some of both of that, right? I mean, you can, you know, we have a lot of innovation and a lot of technology we're using. We actually help many of our customers with their outbound sales, you know, business to business sorts of sales opportunities. And there's a lot of technology and a lot of analytics that we can do that to be very targeted with, right? Or as a customer calls in for some sort of support need, being able to cross sell and upsell them. There's lots of technology to help do that. You know, or reaching new constituents, reaching new customer groups for our clients. There's a lot of interesting ways to do that now through these digital channels. So I'd say it's definitely a blend of both, probably maybe a little bit industry specific, certainly client specific based on, you know, where they're focused.
Oh, of course. Yeah. The verticals you serve. Yeah. But how do you sort through when you're looking at the innovation stack? Hey, we can build this stuff internally. You guys have a powerhouse of technologists, I know, but you also probably do a ton of outbound partnering with service providers. And they might not call you partners, but that they probably do because they're supplying you with something specific. And how do you kind of manage that network and come up with, hey, we definitely want to do, of all the 100 things we've looked at this year, these are the five that are going to be, you know, hopefully be the biggest impact?
Well, I would say a couple of things. First of all, partnerships are really important to our business, and we have some really deep partnerships with all the hyperscalers and other CX technology providers in our space. And, you know, I would say our primary focus is on understanding how to use their platforms, working with them to improve their platforms, and then being able to do that for our clients really across industries. We're using their technologies to build some of our own tools to, as I mentioned before, kind of a personal assistant, if you will, for our frontline associates or for our team leaders to put the information that they need at their fingertips, but we're using all of the technology platforms on the market. There's so much investment going into these core cloud hyperscaler platforms and all the other CX technology providers. It just makes sense for us to be able to leverage those platforms, bring our expertise around operating CX, around all of the particulars to integrate these different systems together, and be able to bring kind of a set of, you know, IP and jumpstart tool sets, if you will, to the table for our various clients.
You know, as the president, where do you spend most of your time?
Oh gosh, I spend a lot of my time with clients, and I spend a lot of just getting
good idea
market, yeah, and what's happening, and a lot of, you know, we have a lot of focus right now. We sort of see every single client, every single corporate service or function, every single proposal as an opportunity to figure out how we can use AI and technology for a better result, but not in terms of replacing people, in terms of a better experience. And so I spend a lot of time with that. What does that look like? What new partnerships should we look at? How do we take some of this innovation out to clients, and how do we experiment together? And then how do we learn from that? And then how do we scale that? So that's really, you know, where I spend the most of my time. And we're on a big effort right now. We're expanding geographically. So I spend a lot of time there, right? We're putting a lot of investment and time into Africa, as an example, expanding in Latin America. And so, you know, we have a lot of focus in that regard as well.
Yeah, I think you're already pretty heavy in India. And expansion is about serving clients as well as having your own centers.
Yeah, primarily as talent sources, you know, for us. Of being able to deliver services, whether it's on our technology side or whether it's our frontline associates on the BPO side, being able to provide new sources of talent to all of our clients. And of course, again, enabling them with all, enabling all of our employees with the right sets of technology so that they can, you know, have a better experience at work and provide a better experience to our clients.
You know, I like the way you make it sound so easy. I mean, I know a lot of your competitors are probably not as up on these trends. And what do you see as some of the big challenges in your industry? I know you're in a couple sectors, but let's say the people side of the industry.
Yeah, I think change is always challenging. I personally find it exciting. So I
speaking of messes, yes.
See it as exciting as well, but change is always challenging. And it's back to this balance of how are you constantly innovating, but innovation that doesn't scale doesn't usually turn out to be that useful. So you've got to have some experiments and, you know, these innovation pilots, but then you got to figure out which ones can really make a difference, right? Which ones can scale either inside a client environment or, you know, in our case, across client environments. And so I think, you know, sometimes that's challenging. It's also, you know, it's a big culture change, right? Lots of organizations, I remember years ago, everyone talked about change fatigue. Well, you can't talk about change fatigue anymore, because if you're going to have fatigue of changing as an organization, you're not going to be in business, you know, very long, right? It's just, how do you create an organization that is good at change, right? Yeah. That can embrace the mess, that can embrace change, that can embrace a culture and a language of learning, like being okay to make some mistakes. And then how do you learn from that? How do you get better from that next time? And so I have this motto of be real, be relevant, be empowered, be accountable, and be learning, always, always, always learning. And I think trying
real,
to-
Real, R-E-A-L, I like it.
R-E-A-L, that's right. Be real, be yourself, be your authentic self, but be relevant, you know, feel empowered, go make things happen, but feel accountable for your decisions. And you got to always be learning. And I think that goes for all levels of an organization, by the way. Today, keeping what makes you relevant today won't be good enough tomorrow. So you have to be learning all the time so you can stay relevant.
Yeah, I have a keynote about this that it's geared for the Global 2000, but it's like, you know, most of them, they're big, fat, and slow, but that's just nothing you can do to change that. But the connected tissue is irrelevance, obscurity, and decline in that little mess. And how do you keep these big companies more relevant and keep them away from decline, really? Because it's competitive out there, right? And there's consolidation going on. And you're more of a strategic tool, it seems, than you've ever been to these corporates.
Yeah. Well, I think part of it is for us, it's just bringing, you know, having these constant conversations with our clients about change, about what we're learning, about what they're learning. We have a client advisory board. We get together on a very frequent basis and just allow our clients an opportunity to share their experiences, right? Whether it's with a particular area in the world, whether it's about, you know, consumer behavior changes, whether it's about AI and how they're applying it, you know, this idea of responsible AI, what the heck does that mean? You know, it means different things in different industries. And so I think a lot of it is around dialogue and creating these opportunities to learn from each other. And, you know, I would say many, you know, probably 5 years ago, many organizations, they only wanted case studies and relevance within their industry. That's completely changed in the last five, certainly last, you know, last handful of years, because
finally,
I think,
yes,
yeah, because yeah. I think everybody realizes that where disruption comes from and where innovation comes from is actually adjacent industries or different kinds of ways of thinking about it. And that if you're just insular thinking about what's happening within your industry, I mean, you just sort of by definition aren't going to be innovative enough.
When you look at, you know, adding, I guess I'll ask this question backwards. Where do you see the company in the next 5 to 10? So nothing too immediate. And then I want to ask about people.
Yeah. Yeah. Where do I see us? I think we'll still squarely be in this whole customer experience space because we're passionate about it. I think we will, you know, have, we'll be doing a lot more with technology, but we'll still have frontline associates serving our clients' customers. Cause as we said before, you know, that human connection is going to be super important. Mm-hmm. I think we'll probably be in, you know, we'll probably have branched out and be doing other kinds of services for our clients. I do think we'll be more consultative and strategic, as you mentioned earlier, we're going to help our clients unlock these sorts of insights across their enterprise, which, you know, we're early days and what we're going to be doing there, but, you know, I think we'll be key.
Your background from Accenture is pretty convenient there.
Yeah, we'll probably be, you know, I hope we'll be playing a different role in, you know, learning and development across the client's organization. How do you help all employees learn differently? That's a really important part of being able to have 60,000 agents serving hundreds of customers every day. So what we're learning about how to do that, we can now provide a different set of services to our clients. So I think there's some new areas of opportunities for us as we, you know, take what we know in the CX space and have a big impact there. I mean, one great thing about customer experiences, I think it's going to be important to every company forever. Right. It changes in terms of what a good experience is, but it's always going to matter.
Having been the executive chairman of a CX company that we sold to Salesforce, I'm going to have to agree with you there. So the backup to that question is, how do you attract this next generation? Companies have been around 10, 20, 30, in your case, 40 years. How do you recruit that next generation, you know, both at the corporate level, because you're doing a lot of smart stuff, as well as the field?
Yeah. Well, I think, I mean, I'd say at the corporate level overall, you know, we're really focused on people who do embrace change, people that bring some different ideas. So not bringing people that are just from our industry, people that can come, can understand what we do, obviously, but bring some new ideas, bring some new energy, certainly on the technology side. Yep. You know, folks that just have modern technology and analytical skills by nature, by their training, by their schooling, bringing other experiences. I think in terms of in the field, those frontline associates, folks in the contact center serving our clients, you know, that's a different generation today as well. We're looking for people who not just can follow a script, but people who are curious, people who can learn, people who have some empathy, people who have some critical thinking skills, because we can put information in their hands now. And maybe they're going to need to be able to solve more complex problems, because the reality is we are automating the easy, you know, the easy FAQs, the easy yes, no sorts of questions, the things that where customers want to serve themselves with information that's on a website, on a mobile app that, you know, that they can use ChatGPT for. But those complex interactions will never be automated. And so really wanting to have people that can establish that human connection, and how do we enable them with tools to make that job easier?
And how would you advise them to prepare to be an employee? You know, what would you like to see them doing now, so you hire them in a year or so?
Yeah. Well, I like to just tell everybody to be curious, right? To be curious about these, you know, to be curious about technology and be curious about learning. And yeah, just
that narrows the field. A lot of people aren't. They just want it.
Yeah.
So, and you've talked about lifelong learning as well. I think that's critical. But yeah, I've just been finding that some companies are struggling really attracting that next gen. And you have such a diverse set of cool things for them to work on. Seems like you've got a lot of buttons you can push.
I do think cool work is an attraction for certainly
the
generation, right? Yeah. Cool work. Of course, everybody talks a lot about, you know, flexibility and all of these things. And yes, that's important as well. But in the end, if you really want to get people who can make a difference, you know, you want people that want to do cool work and want to be able to bring their ideas and, you know, kind of have a seat at the table, if you will. So having a bit of a flatter organization and having everybody feel like they're part of these, you know, we have something here we call rally teams, right? Topics that we want to rally around quickly, right? And make a difference in these cross-functional teams to say, how do we go after solving this particular challenge or opportunity? And, you know, those teams are typically not the executives, right? Those are folks who just want to work together and want to have a really cool outcome 6 weeks from now.
You know, your career, you've done a lot of challenging things, which I can relate to. Yeah, you don't seem to take the easy road. So what's been your biggest challenge that you've overcome?
Oh, goodness. Well, I do seem to like change. So I guess I get energized by that. But I suppose sometimes, sometimes that can be tiring as well, I suppose. And you know, it's easy to be impatient because when you're trying to change things, you want the change to come quickly. And so sometimes I think, you know, learning when you need to be persistent and keep pushing, and then learning when you need to like step back for a minute and just be a little bit patient, right? And let things play out a little bit. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's sometimes just sort of a constant balancing act as a leader, is to figure out today I got to bring my patience, and, you know, this afternoon I got to bring sort of my push, right? And it's knowing when the teams are ready for either one of those, I guess, is a bit of a challenge, but it's also what makes it fun.
Yeah, it's got to be very situational, because you don't want to be one of those companies that falls into the irrelevance, obscurity, and decline category.
That's right.
They need your energy. So, yeah, how do you balance that push? Because every company I talk to needs more of it these days.
Yeah,
maybe it's pull. I don't know, but you
understand. Well, I think sometimes part of it's instinct, right? I mean, a little bit of like, you're constantly pushing for something more, but sometimes you got to let things be a little bit patient and let people figure it out a little bit. Right. And just, you know, sometimes it's not easy to push these innovations in 6 weeks. Sometimes the team needs 8. Okay. My favorite thing is I make all the miles. I like to make the milestones around holidays because people remember them. So we have a big thing coming for St. Patrick's Day. So people remember holidays, right? Last year, July 4th was a big one for us in terms of some things that we wanted to get done with our AI tools. And so part of it's just, I guess, putting a little bit of fun into it. But obviously you have to keep pushing the organization, but sometimes they need just a little bit of patience to get done what they're trying to accomplish.
Yeah. And what are you most excited about looking ahead in the industry?
I think it's a really interesting time because, especially in our space, you know, there's still a lot of companies that are taking those early steps in terms of moving all their contact center technology to the cloud. So there's a lot of rich work and interesting things for us to do there, but probably, you know, as, or even more exciting is once we help customers get their technology suite, their CX technology suite to the cloud, that's when you can really unlock all of those insights that I was talking about before and really unlock the innovation. And I think, you know, the great news for us is we can bring both of those pieces, technology and that human empathy, and really, you know, help our clients across industries deliver these great customer experiences. And I just don't think it's ever going to be just about technology. I mean, technology is great. I have a passion for technology. But for me, this idea of bringing humanity to business, that's more interesting than just, you know, doing technology projects.
Excellent. Thanks, Shelley. Appreciate it. You've been listening to Shelley Swanbeck. She is the president of TTech. Check it out. And we will see you soon. It's Dean Tobias with the Reboot Chronicles. Thanks for joining us today.